case, Bauer v. Astru. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, Christine Bauer. This Court has held that administrative law judges must discuss significant evidence that favors the plaintiff's claim and that they are not allowed to discuss only that evidence that favors their ultimate conclusion, finding a claimant not disabled. They may not pick and choose among the evidence. They must explain why the evidence on which they relied is not overcome by the evidence favoring the plaintiff's claim. And they may not mischaracterize evidence. In this case, the administrative law judge violated each of those admonitions set forth by this Court. There were approximately 43 treatment notes from this claimant's psychiatrist and psychologist. The ALJ discussed...
Aren't most of them just repeating what she tells him?
No, Your Honor. There are the mental status examinations in the doctor's reports. Often, those indicate the doctor's own impression, which was that the claimant's...
But the impressions, aren't they just based on what she tells him?
Well, no, they would be also based on the observations of how the claimant appears, what the claimant's affect is. If that's the psychiatrist and psychologist are trained to determine whether somebody appears to be depressed or not.
Isn't there a concern about her wanting to get these drugs?
That was not a concern concerning her bipolar disorder. There was some mention once when she saw treatment for her back pain that she was seeking pain medication.
But aren't most of the drugs she gets pain? What drugs was she given for manic depressive?
Depakote, Risperdal, and Lamictal. She was tried on Prozac. Those were the medications. She was taking Depakote and Lamictal. And the Risperdal. Risperdal is actually an antipsychotic medication.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on those on a regular basis, and there was no evidence that she was abusing or misusing those drugs.
Now, well, Prozac, of course, is an anti... Well, isn't it? Well, I'm not sure. But why are these drugs not work? Most manic depressive people can function, right? Drugs for that. It's not like schizophrenia, so.
Well, actually, manic depression is more difficult to control than depression because people cycle. And so sometimes...
But they took drugs to level their moods.
Well, they do, and for some people it works, and for some people it doesn't work. And the evidence in this case is that this claimant was frequently cycling between depression and mania, and that she would have racing thoughts, be unable to sleep at some times, and at other times she would sleep from 2 in the morning till 3, 4 in the afternoon every day for a period of time. She would get angry. She hit her significant other during one incident of her mania. Other times she was depressed and crying and tearful and feeling hopeless. She was hospitalized on 3 separate occasions due to her psychiatric condition, all for suicidal ideation and one time for... also having audio and visual hallucinations. But I think the key legal issue in this case is that the ALJ doesn't mention any of the evidence that favors the plaintiff's case. None of it.
Was she examined by other psychiatrists besides Caspary?
No. Well, when she was hospitalized.
Yes, of course, right.
No, but there was no consultative evaluation in this case at all.
One of the references to the state agency reviewing physician is what, someone who looked at Caspary's notes?
That's correct. Yes, those were non-examining physicians who never saw the claimant, only reviewed the file. And even in this case, those doctors, the second doctor gave the opinion in January of 2004, so there's a great deal of evidence in this case that those doctors did not even have the opportunity to review. But the ALJ didn't evaluate the evidence fully in this case. It also appears that the ALJ didn't understand the episodic nature of bipolar disorder, as this court recognized in the Kangale versus Barnhart case. You can't just look at the positive findings or the times when the claimant was normal during their evaluation when they have an episodic disorder. And that's not just true of a bipolar disorder. That would be true of a physical disorder such as gout or rheumatoid arthritis. Just because someone sees a doctor sometimes and they're okay, you have to look at the times when they're not okay and determine the frequency and the severity of the of their impairment when they're not feeling well. In this case, the claimant's treating psychiatrist, Dr. Caspari, saw the claimant on numerous occasions and had the opportunity to evaluate her bipolar disorder.
But he didn't testify or give an affidavit?
He did not testify. She submitted a written evaluation to the Social Security Administration, and also there were three reports that she submitted to the state of Wisconsin in support of, some welfare program that the claimant had applied for. And Dr. Caspari filled out three reports for that evaluation.
Wouldn't it have been good for Caspari to testify? In his bottom line opinion, it's a woman, but get her overall assessment, because these progress notes, it's hard to make sense of.
Well, I think that's why
right?
That's why the attorney had the doctor fill out the report, which was at pages 62 and 63.
Had what? I'm sorry?
There's a report in the file from the doctor giving her bottom line assessment.
From Caspari?
That's correct.
What is the page number?
I believe it's 62 and 63.
So there is a report.
Yes. Actually, it starts at page 58 and goes through 63. And that gives the doctor's bottom line opinion based on her assessment.
Medical examination capacity form.
That's correct. And given the regulation at 20 CFR section 404.
Okay, so what she says there, all right, bipolar and depression. Then prognosis good, has passed good work history. Medications, therapy. So what do you do with that? I mean.
Well, but then she goes on to indicate that on page 61 that in her opinion Ms. Bauer would miss work more than twice a month because of her impairment. And then at page 62, she opines that the plaintiff had marked limitations in daily living and social functioning and in concentration, persistence, or pace. And then at page 63, she indicates that the plaintiff had poor or no ability to maintain attention for two-hour segments or to complete
a... Okay.
And again, under the regulation, the treating doctor's opinion is entitled to controlling weight where it's not inconsistent with the other significant evidence of record. It doesn't have to be consistent with all of the evidence of record, as long as it's not inconsistent with the other evidence of record. And since it's the doctor's own treatment notes, which show very often that this plaintiff was depressed and in a manic phase, the doctor's opinion is consistent with the evidence and should be adopted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Sanchez?
May it please the Court, Alfred Sanchez appearing on behalf of Michael J. Hester, the Commissioner of Social Security. Good morning, Your Honors. Ms. Bauer's principal challenge on appeal is that the ALJ wrote an inadequate decision because he selectively analyzed the evidence and failed to mention some of the evidence more favorable to her. In so framing her argument, Ms. Bauer has built her case around 43 treatment notes, which she summarizes in a single footnote in her brief. While these treatment records are important, it's equally important to keep them in context. This is not a case in which the ALJ looked only to the treatment notes. Rather, the ALJ in this case also considered that Ms. Bauer was either looking for work or working during much of the time.
I understand it. So Dr. Caspari saw her, many times, and she issued this report, and it's pretty clear she thinks that Bauer has a serious mental illness. So I don't understand the ALJ's treatment of that. I don't get it. What does the ALJ say? Yes, Dr. Caspari thinks she's got serious mental illness, but what? What's the but here?
I mean, everyone, I think, agrees that Ms. Bauer has a bipolar disorder. And everyone agrees that she is limited to a certain extent.
But
what's the evidence against? I don't understand.
Well, when you look at the treatment records, particularly in which Dr. Caspary saw and examined and conducted a statics examination of Ms. Bauer, the ALJ is confronted with Ms. Bauer presenting troubling subjective complaints versus the observations of Dr. Caspary, which don't mirror what...
I don't understand. When you say, what do you mean they don't mirror that? Did you think his report doesn't reflect his notes? Do you think Dr. Caspary's, bottom line report doesn't reflect the notes?
I think that's true, Your Honor. I think
some pretty extreme stuff in them about her condition.
Dr. Caspary does say some rather extreme stuff, and it's not. And the ALJ found two things: that those extreme limitations were not supported by Dr. Caspary's own observations, which are seen throughout the report.
Well, that's what I don't see. I'm looking at these notes. Some of the time it's obviously intermittent. Some of the time she's all right, and he's. And Dr. Caspary is optimistic, and other times she's, suicidal and so on.
Let's take an example. October 16, 2003.
What does a single day mean? I don't understand you. Of course she has good days, right? Otherwise she'd be in a mental institution.
Yeah, correct, Your Honor, but I think, when you need to look and see what Dr. Caspary's observations are during these reports, and even at times where Ms. Bauer is providing very poor subjective complaints, Dr. Caspary is reporting that she's actually functioning pretty well. And the ALJ, when he looks at the rest of the record and looks at Dr. Caspary's bottom line, he sees that it's not supported by what Dr. Caspary's seen during these examinations, and it's not consistent with the other evidence in the record.
Where does the administrative law judge do anything except pick and choose among these progress notes? A progress note dated November 21st opined the claimant was doing quite well. Okay, so. On June 17th, 2004, 6 months later, claimant reported she was doing better. Well, what about the in-between?
Well, the ALJ is rendering an RFC that would accommodate the limitations that Ms. Bauer has given her condition. And when we look at the records...
I'm looking at page 31 of the appendix. So, claimant was admitted to the hospital due to complaints of suicidal thoughts and increasing bouts of depression and mood swings.
When Ms. Bauer...
Despite her allegations of increased mental problems during a mental consultation, the claimant was found to be appropriately dressed. What's that about?
When Ms. Bauer's at her worst, she has been hospitalized. And on three occasions during the entire time contemplated by this record, she is hospitalized. However, she's hospitalized only for those three times and only for a very short time. And once she is seen and getting treatment, for instance, that March 12, 2005, she was discharged with a GAF score of between 65 and 70, which reflects very mild limitations, which are accommodated in the ALJ's RFC finding. Those GAF scores are also consistent with the other GAF scores in the record.
You actually say that is the ALJ male or female? I'm having trouble with my pronouns. Is the ALJ male, a man or a woman? Man. Okay, so did he ever say that he was rejecting Dr. Caspary's evaluation?
The ALJ, in discussing Dr. Caspary's opinion, does say that he's going to give it a little weight. It's the weight to be given on page 30 of the appendix. Of the appellate appendix, the ALJ does go through the reasons for why he's giving a little weight is given to the assessment of Dr. Caspary. And other things he notes that it's not that Dr. Caspary's bottom line is supported by the record. and it's not consistent with the other evidence. This is a case in which Ms. Bauer is the sole caregiver of her son, who in 2005 is 13. She is either working or looking for work during much of the time she's claimed to be disabled.
Counsel, from your examination of this whole record, do you believe that it is clear that she can work?
I do, Your Honor. I think when you look at that summary of the treatment notes from Ms. Bauer's brief, you look at that, it doesn't show that Ms. Bauer cannot do the range of work that ALJ finds that she can do in his RFC finding. Even if you accept
aren't
all those limitations.
Aren't there periods of Dr. Kasperi's reports that also say that the bipolar has control over it?
I don't think that the...
There are periods where he says that because she can look for work, and because she has worked sporadically, i.e. she can work.
There are times where she has minor fluctuations in her condition, and the ALJ does accommodate those. And there are times where she's at her worst and she's hospitalized. But
from
the record shows...
Have you ever seen anybody recover from that?
No, but I have seen, in cases, individuals who are worse off and who are hospitalized many more days, many more times a month.
What work do you say that this woman can do?
Well, with the limitations that were presented to the vocational expert...
What work do you say she can do? From this record?
I'm not a vocational expert. I can only give you the testimony of the vocational expert that was testifying...
Well, if you're not convinced, how can you convince us?
I'm convinced, based upon the testimony that the vocational expert gave in this case, that she could do small products of similar work...
What was the vocational expert told about her mental condition?
He was given... a hypothetical that would include a person of her age and vocational profile, and was told to consider the limitations that were given in the ALJ's RFC finding.
What was he told about her mental condition?
That she can perform and concentrate on simple tasks.
What was he told about her mental condition? Was he told this woman has imperfectly controlled bipolar disorder?
Well, he is present at
this... Answer my question. Was he told that?
I don't think he was specifically told that she had bipolar.
Isn't that important? Bipolar fluctuates all the time.
Sure, Your Honor, but the VE was present at the hearing, and the VE is given not only a diagnosis, rather a diagnosis, he's given... functional limitations resulting from that impairment.
You just said he wasn't given the diagnosis.
No, he wasn't, but he was given the functional limitations that the ALJ...
told you, she's been hospitalized for, suicidal thoughts.
Well, he's given the record. The VE in the case is given the record. He has an opportunity to review the record, and he also has the opportunity to hear...
Did he read the record? Did he?
I believe that he indicates that he did read the record. Based on the review of let's see. Have you had a chance to examine exhibits from the claimant's file before the hearing so you could familiarize yourself? Yes, sir, I have. He was also, do you need any more information about her vocational background? He says he doesn't. And based on the vocational profile and the limitations that the VE, that the ALJ gives the VE based on his review of the record, the VE does find that she can perform some jobs within the limitations given, can understand simple instructions, relate to others, but limited in her employment or in public contact, and the jobs that the VE identifies are consistent with the limitations that the ALJ gave him. Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sanchez. Mr. Schultz, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Just a couple of points, Your Honor. First, the vocational expert only indicated that he reviewed the file so that he could familiarize himself with Ms. Bauer's vocational background. He didn't indicate that he reviewed the medical portion of the evidence at all. In these cases, usually the VEs don't review the medical portion of the evidence because it's their job just to understand the vocational history of the individual. And in this case, the ALJ told the vocational expert that the limitations the claimant had was a limitation to be able to concentrate on simple tasks and understand simple instructions, adapt to the workplace changes and supervision with limited employee and public contact. That was all that the vocational expert was given, which I think goes back to the point that the ALJ in this case did not provide the VE or even himself recognize the episodic nature of this claimant's impairment. And the question he had to determine was, could Ms. Bauer sustain work activity on a week-in and week-out basis given the fluctuations in her disability? Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.